Welcome to our show. Before we start, did you know that you could support our show by pushing the patron button at our website, thebillshow.net? You'll be helping us pay the bills and continue to provide you with what we do every fortnight. Political insights and progressive news, including some of the most recent clips from the U.S. political scene. Just click patron at thebillshow.net, and for the cost of a cappuccino a month, you can help us maintain our show. Thanks. Now on with the show.
The words that have been flung out from his mouth are insane.
You a nasty woman, we hear you say, hell yeah.
We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose.
From the expat home of the resistance, it's the Bill Show. And now, brothers and sisters in solidarity, here's Bill and Randy.
Hello, Randy. How are you?
Oh, young William, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's so nice to hear you.
Down there in your salubrious holiday home.
The massive Bill Show Studios, which extends through acres of the massive Bill Show Ranch.
Oh, stop.
Where we are working on our new release movies through the Bill Show Productions.
It's a cute little man cave.
I know.
I thought it was lovely.
Trailer.
And it's got a bar fridge, and it's lovely.
I'm like one of those guys in a Roland Emmerich film. You know, I think there was Woody Harrelson played it in 2012. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, I was sitting there. They end up dead, by the way. In most of the movies,
don't. You're a terrible spoiler. Now, William, I think we owe an apology to our listeners for the two-hour marathon
could talk, can't we?
I almost couldn't listen to the whole thing in one go. I had to take a break.
I think a lot of people maybe listened to half of it. Just because it was, that's enough.
But, no, because the second half was really good.
Yeah, I know. We think so. And you know something, Randy? I've gotten to the point where I basically say, hey, this is the show. This is the show. If you like listening to some of it or half of it or not at all, it's up
Bill,
to you. What?
For all those thousands of hits, you know, it's only you and I talking to each other.
780,000 hits so far. We're bucking on a million.
Yeah. We're just talking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And people just like people just like us. Hey,
I don't care.
You should explain
to
people.
Hey, listen.
You should explain to people. No, you should explain to people the new intro music.
Oh, the new intro.
Because you went and saw The Boss last week.
I saw The Boss here in Australia.
Yeah, and so Born in the USA
and I thought to
has
myself,
a special meaning.
Absolutely.
That'd make a great opening number for our show.
That's right.
Because we're both born in the USA.
Are. We were born down in a dead man's town. The first kick we took was when we hit the ground.
No, you were born in Boston with all
I
the
was born in Boston, that's right.
Boston with the flat vowels.
Yeah.
And I was born in SoCal.
I'm looking at
in the middle of the Mojave.
I'm looking
in the
at
Mojave,
you
want
you
want to
know
desert?
Something that's really a cliche. In my studio here, it's just a
everything
trailer.
Everything we do in this show is a real cliche.
I look over, and I have a framed portrait of John F. Kennedy. So, I'm the last of the dying liberals.
I've got one of the 50-cent pieces still, the silver ones.
I know. I have a...
Does that count?
Yeah, I've been a political tragic for years because I have, like, I used to have this button collection. So, I'm literally... I've got a Kennedy for President button in front of me. I've got a McGovern Eagleton button, which, by the way, was very fortunate. And I got a Nixon button.
Do you still
button.
Have the auto pen signed?
Yes, I got a letter.
Bill Clinton letter.
I got an auto pen. I'm sure it was an auto pen lie, but it's dear Bill from Bill Clinton, asking me for a date. No, it wasn't. He was just calling me, going, "I'll tell you something, Bill. I kind of like you. You're all right. Please accept all my favorable and wonderful charm just in your own lap, just because you're a lovely human being. Thanks.
We love you. Hillary and I love Australia.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what he did. And, you know, there was a time in which I had rose-colored glasses about Bill. I still can't help but love him. Because sometimes when he talks, he just realizes, with all his faults, next to this guy, come on, you know?
He was a saint! He's a saint!
He wasn't a saint, but, you know, he was the smartest guy in the room. He was. And this guy is just this sock puppet, you know? Anyway, we got to get to otherwise another 2 hours.
And your friend Monica says he still leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Shut up!
I'll smoke it later.
God, you're an Asperger's. You really are. Shit just comes out of your mouth. That's why we don't make any money at this. It's you. You offend everyone.
Oh, Willie.
All right, this is, of course,
you're catching up.
Another couple of weeks of, yes, you guessed it, Crazy Pants, our president, Donald Trump. Here it is.
This is a song about being happy. That's right. It's the happy, happy, joy, joy song.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th President of the United States. Donald Trump, President of the United States. Donald Trump, President of the United States. Donald Trump, Donald Trump, President of the United States.
Let's say China. China,
China, China,
China,
China,
China,
China,
China.
Now it's time for the next episode of Donald Trump,
China,
American President.
China,
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 China.
Picture, if you will, a normal scene in the U.S. Congress. There, a flaxen-haired guy. His name, Donald Trump. The worst possible person that could be president of the United States. You're in. We're fucked zone. So I'm sorry. That's as far as I'd go.
You're in the fuck zone.
You're in the fuck zone. You know those alternative universes? You know they're always doing those novels about alternative universes where the worst fucking shit happened? We're in that one now.
Yeah.
We're in that now.
What happened?
We're in that now. That's Bernie Sanders out there, and he's angry about this, too. I don't know how we got in there. Anyway, you saw the kind of quasi-State of the Union, did you?
Oh, did I? The one where it said, the guy was Hillary. This is all a dream. We're all going to wake up. Hillary Clinton is actually president. and Donald Trump is learning to read.
Yeah, Mom, I had this terrible dream. And you were there too, Scarecrow. I was talking about his address to Congress, which you said you saw a bit of, but just couldn't get through it.
No, not a bit. I couldn't get through the introduction.
I couldn't get this. Just
Tweedledee and Tweedledummer behind
it.
Yeah.
You see that fucker actually walk down with all these sucky little Republicans. I have never seen more pasty white cocksucking in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, all these Republicans, we love you. We love you. And the Democrats are great. You know, they're just, they said enough of this shit. I'm not applauding this piece of shit. Fuck that. So, I mean, you just had this Republican Party, seriously, of, if you wanted to get rid of, 80% of the venal fucks in the world.
Don't say it.
I'm not saying that you should do it. It'd be wrong. But you know.
What was the Tom Clancy book or Clive Cussley?
Yeah, I'm not saying anything. Trust me. I believe peace, not war, but you know, it's very rare that you get that kind of antimatter all in one place.
No.
And they were all crowded around Trump before he got to the podium. You're great. We love you.
Yeah.
You know what was really funny, though? It was the media. Because
don't preface anything in this subject with what you think is funny. Because
No, there's nothing funny about this. Come on. You have to laugh or you'd blow your head off.
It's blown.
Yes. No, it isn't. You're talking to me. Listen to the media.
I'm talking out of my ass. You often say that.
Listen, they watch this whole thing, and I've cut together this montage of media moments courtesy of Seth Meyers, because he used these clips, and I'm going to use them. Because
isn't he great?
They're just great. I love Seth. He's great. We're close. Seth and I, we're like this. No, he doesn't know me. But I just wanted to use the clips that he's used, because he used some fantastic clips. They show the media absolutely just... It's insane. They're willing to be conned again. And then afterward, it's like you've brought your dog to someone's house and it didn't shit on the carpet one day. You know what I mean? It's literally, what a good Trump. And then you
and
have,
that's what they said. He's
then you have
he's
Brian
sounding
Williams,
presidential.
You're not going to be sounding. It's a visual. Let me go with it. There's a visual of Matthews and Madhouse sitting there watching Trumpy Boy. He's in the car, right? Okay, you'll hear it. He's in the car. He's rehearsing aloud. You know, like you have to train that dog a few times, you know. Just, let me see. I can't say that everybody sucks. I can't say that you're all losers. You should be fired. I can't say I hate spicks and niggas. I can't do that. Okay, fine. All right. Everything's nice. I'm there. We're all together, a wonderful country. And he just can't say those things. So he's going to fight him back. Back, I say. So, ladies and gentlemen, for your viewing and amusement pleasure, here's Donald Trump and how the media treated him during his very normal speech, evidently. Here it is.
These guys are so happy. I've been watching. He just slipped a lifesaver into his mouth, the Speaker of the House. He's been drinking water. He's doing everything that's available to him.
Of course.
Mince, water. I think he's having a hell of a time up there.
Come on, we can do it. All the way
there
in. There we go. Here we go. Here we go. There he is.
Screen or paper?
Look, it
looks like paper.
He's lipping it. He's doing it. Look at
that. Practicing.
Yeah, but he's actually voicing it. Look at that. He has no idea he's on television.
No idea he's on television, and we're underway.
Look at this. You dirty dog. You let them take my picture.
Easily the most traditional speech he has given in public life, the most speech-like speech.
The tone, the presidential demeanor.
A reset in tone.
A more sober tone, a more presidential tone.
President Trump tonight sounding presidential.
I feel like tonight Donald Trump became the president of the United States.
So it took 6 weeks. It took 6 weeks from the inauguration for him to become president of the United States.
Little Fido's a thoroughbred because he didn't crap on the floor.
He's hatched out of his carapace and he became a beautiful butterfly.
That's right, for one day. For one day. One day, everybody, yeah. they were corking their little corks over there at the White House. My God, we got Trump to sit and stay on a carpet, not shit on it. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Then, the next day.
Then.
This happened.
We're back now with our breaking news. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, when he was still a senator and an advisor to the Trump campaign, had meetings with Russia's ambassador to the U.S., but did not disclose them during his confirmation hearings.
Leading Democrats, including House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senator Elizabeth Warren, are calling for Sessions to resign.
If there is any evidence that anyone affiliated with the Trump campaign communicated with the Russian government in the course of this campaign, what will you do?
Senator Franken, I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians.
Whatever do you mean?
You terrible
northern Yankee. How dare you think that I would have gentlemen callers that were not American come up to my house?
I am dependent upon the kindness of communists.
Yes, I am dependent. Never mind that. Give me that glove.
Sessions!
Give me that glove. I slap you in your face, you Yankee swine. I will no longer tolerate the northern battle of aggression.
You're
a fucking guy.
Those Russians, I'm sorry.
Russians. Tell me one thing, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill's question for the podcast. Are there anybody in the? Is there anybody in the Russia in the Trump campaign that was not talking to Russians?
Oh dear.
Anyone?
but the firefighter.
By the way, Brandy, lying to Congress under oath is a crime.
Yes, I realize that.
Punishable by prison.
Or worse.
Why, Beauregard, I guess it's time for you to bend over at Attica.
Yeah.
Oh, my. What did you say your name was?
Yeah.
Rocco. Well, I've never met
you're getting
Rocco
disgusting.
Before.
Yeah, now you're disgusting.
I'm sorry, I go off and... There you go. I'm sorry.
And talk about gay prison shit. That's terrible.
I'm sorry. I went there.
Yeah, you did. But you always go there, even when we're not recording.
We are.
Yeah.
So, anyway, listen, this also came down the pike, and it gets better. It's just amazing. It gets better. Mm-hmm. There was a report now that Trump's commerce secretary...
Oh, God. Another one.
And the guy who delivers his pizzas are all talking to the Russians. We don't know why. Trump's commerce secretary, this comes from The Intellectualist and sourced by The New York Times. Trump's commerce secretary pick is the top shareholder of a bank, wait for it, used by Kremlin-aligned oligarchs. I'll read from the article. Billionaire investor Wilbur Ross.
Hello, Wilbur.
Tapped by President-elect Donald Trump to serve as his commerce secretary. This is beautiful. Has been the top shareholder in a Cypriot bank with deep Russian ties and investors who made their fortunes under, wait for it, Russian President Vladimir Putin! Come on, kids, give him a quick...
Let's have the cheer squad. Come in.
Yeah, cheer squad. Give him another one. Vladimir, you're back. There's no indication of any questionable behavior by Ross, really. But his partners in the bank are sure to attract scrutiny during his Senate confirmation hearing, which he just went through, by the way. Beyond the Russian ties, Bank of Cyprus... But his partners in the bank are sure to attract scrutiny during his Senate confirmation hearing and underscore a financial orbit around Putin that intersects with figures of Trump's campaign and administration. Beyond the Russian ties, Bank of Cyprus chairman once headed Deutsche Bank, which has repeatedly run afoul of U.S. regulators. Cyprus is often used by, wait for it, politically connected Russian businessmen.
Well, this all came out a couple of years ago. Yeah, this all came out a couple of years ago when Bank of Cyprus went to the wall.
Because
we have a branch just down the street, and they went to the wall because of all the Russians were going to pull their money out. It changed its name to the Delphi Bank.
Yeah, well, guys, listen up. The Bank of Cyprus is rumored to be where Vladimir does his washing.
Yeah.
You know, this is where Tony Montana goes. Yeah. Remember when Tony Montana goes into those banks and says, I need this, can I deposit this? And they said, we'll take some, and then we'll put it away. That's what some people think about the Bank of Cyprus.
They're laundering their money, yeah.
The second largest shareholder in the Bank of Cyprus is, wait for it,
Vladimir Putin.
A Russian conglomerate called Renova. Corp.
Oh, not Renova!
Which is headed by Viktor Vekelsberg, a Russian billionaire and associate of, kids get ready, Vladimir Putin!
Yeah, it's all... you're making this quiz too easy.
Here, who served on the management board of the Russian oil giant Rosneft, which we already talked about in a previous show, which was under U.S. financial sanctions in 2014 after Russia's annexation of Chechnya and couldn't do a deal with Exxon, run by Rex Tillerson.
Not the Secretary of State.
Oh, come on, kids. Come in and cheer that. That's great.
Yeah, it is. Look, just tell them not to leave, just to be quiet and sit in the corner.
Now, he's going to have a busy time because, man, I'll tell you, this guy's going to jail.
Yeah.
All right, I got the feeling there's this critical mass coming, and it's coming because a lot of shit is just coming out. And it's just, listen to this. First of all.
Is that Bernie Sanders?
That's Bernie Sanders. He loves the show. And he refuses to go away.
He listens every week.
He's with us every week. If you hear that's Bernie, he's criticizing some of the birds because they seem to be, you know, part of that 1%. I don't like the cut of your jib, you know. And he's criticizing the birds. He admonishes them for their
Willie.
They don't recycle. They don't do all the things that a good liberal should do. So yeah, the birds catch it. Here is Rachel Maddow. Now Rachel Maddow did a fantastic bit. You got to go to Rachel Maddow. Go to MSNBC.
She's not taking shit from anybody lately.
They talk about this commerce secretary and the bank as basically the washing machine for the people who did business with Putin. None of these guys make any money unless they work for, you know, Putin.
Yeah.
Putin owns that country. He's like Tony Soprano. He owns a slice of
everything. It's got to become a verb, to Putinize or something like that. You know?
It's Tony Soprano.
To pay some money and the monkey dances.
Absolutely. And we'll have another story. But listen, I'm going to cut this in. This is Rachel Maddow talking about a new New Yorker article that's going to help tear down this whole thing. It's going under, mate. I don't care how much he doesn't poop on the rug when he goes to the fucking Congress. I don't give a shit, man. This guy, you can smell blood in the water, and it's definitely happening. Republicans better wake up. You do not want to tie yourself to this guy too long. Here is Rachel Maddow on yesterday's show talking about this and other connections that Trump has to Putin. Here you go.
The big problem with Wilbur Ross is that the scandal about him and Russia may ultimately be a scandal about Donald Trump and Russia. And we're going to be joined tonight by David Remnick, the editor of The New Yorker, who has just bylined a mega story on Trump and Putin. Among the news that Remnick has turned up is this. You remember that 35-page dossier with all those salacious details supposedly about Donald Trump? That unconfirmed dossier of dirt that Russians supposedly had on Trump? Well, here's The New Yorker. Quote, the 35-page dossier included claims about Trump's behavior during a 2013 trip to Moscow. The dossier concluded that Russia had personal and financial material on Trump that could be used as blackmail. It said that the Russians had been cultivating, supporting, and assisting Trump for years. According to current and former government officials, prurient details in the dossier generated skepticism among some members of the intelligence community. But in the weeks that followed, they confirmed some of his less explosive claims relating to conversations with foreign nationals. One intelligence official tells the New York Times, quote, they are continuing to chase down stuff from the dossier, and at its core, a lot of it is bearing out. And now here's what is shooting up right now like a flare in the night sky. Quote, some officials believe that one reason the Russians compiled information on Trump during his 2013 trip was that he was meeting with Russian oligarchs who might be stashing money abroad. And that, according to some officials, is why Russia was compiling dirt on Trump. Because he was helping them find places to put their money. Wilbur Ross was confirmed as Commerce Secretary tonight. David Remnick from The New Yorker joins us in just a moment. And I feel like I'm finally starting to understand this.
Yep.
She hit the nail on the head.
Well, you know something? We've been saying this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have been sitting here talking since, oh my God, I think it was June last year about his ties to Russia.
Yeah.
As soon as that Mother Jones article came out, the dossier thing, you started seeing all these things. And then you saw his actions and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Listen, guys, it's not just a bunch of crazies in a trailer that are thinking this. Now it's the highest people, the people literally in the intelligence field are telling you this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this guy is not only insane. I do think that he's psychologically insane. Thank you, Bernie. You're right.
Yeah, he agrees with you. Yeah.
But he's also an asset of the Russian government, if these things are true.
Well, if they really have a pee-pee video of him and all that, and all that other stuff.
But what kind of maniac would appoint the owner of the bank that you are using to clean money with, who's linked directly to Russia? What could you be thinking? No, he does
what he's told.
It's the stupidest Bill, thing in the world.
Bill, he does what he's told.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, Vladimir, what would you like? Oh, by the way, there was one other thing. Tony Kushner, Jared Kushner. This is from the New York Times.
Just call him the son-in-law.
Jared Kushner, or the less motivated Menendez brother, it turns out, I'm stealing from the best folks. Now
you
it has come
too.
Out that someone within Trump's own family was involved in the Flynn-Russian collusion when Flynn personally met with the Russian ambassador. Trump's son-in-law, senior White House advisor Jared Kushner, who is Ivanka Trump's husband, mented person with Flynn and Ambassador Sergei Kislyak at Trump Tower in December before he was president.
Kushner was at that meeting with Flynn.
Yeah. Flynn's meetings with Kislyak were in regards to the sanctions that President Obama was leveling against the Russian Federation for its interference in our elections. Kushner's presence represents a personal interest from Trump, who is wildly mistrustful of all those outside his inner circle. So why is Trump so really, really concerned that those nasty sanctions against my boyfriend Vladimir go away?
If Kushner went, does Kushner actually have a position yet? I know he's got security clearance, but is he actually a person? I mean, like a...
He's a special advisor to the president.
Yeah, is that actually a real position?
He's like the evil Bobby Kennedy. So, I mean, it's like, absolutely.
No, he was attorney general.
Listen, obviously Bernie Sanders is chasing after, I don't know, probably thinks he sees Hillary in a dream. But, oh, no, he stopped. Okay, fantastic.
Thank you, Bernie Sanders.
This is such a high-class broadcast, I actually had to consider going and get my dog to shut up.
I love Bernie Sanders. He's such a cute dog.
Bernie Sanders is the cutest dog you'll ever see. We'll post him on the website. I'll post a photo of Bernie
Sanders.
Willow.
We had pictures of Willow on there.
Now we're going to have pictures of Bernie Sanders. Now, one last story that I really wanted to focus on. Okay. At least 7 senior Russian officials have died some violently since the election. Can I have some death music, please? Here's a list, guys.
Like Chopin, but Chopin's Polish. Does that count? Is that close enough?
Here's a list of, by the way, it seems as if Jessica Fletcher is moving to Moscow because a lot of these top guys are very close to Putin. And as this shit starts to come out, people are dropping like flies in Russia. Take a look at this. This is from Mike. Vitaly Churkin, Russia's ambassador to the United Nations. He died suddenly in New York earlier this week, apparently of a cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Churkin, Russia's envoy to the UN since 2006, reportedly became ill at his Russian mission office in Manhattan on Monday and died at New York's Presbyterian Hospital. He turned 65 the next day. The New York City medical examiner said more studies required into the cause and matter of Churkin's death, though federal law enforcement has said it does not believe that there was any foul play. However, still, because Russia is no stranger to political murders, the sudden death of a Russian official automatically raises suspicions. So while Churkin may indeed have died of natural causes, some have noted that it follows several other recent deaths of Russian officials. You know, Jessica Fletcher-wise.
like the one that got shot in the backseat of a car
in
front of the Kremlin.
Suddenly, and under mysterious circumstances, either these people have all seen the Zapruder film, or something's going on. On November 8th, the day of the 2016 United States election, Russian consular duty officer commander Sergei Krivov was found dead on the floor of the Russian consulate in New York. Mm. Oops. Though police had initially said he died of natural causes, a BuzzFeed report revealed mystery surrounding Krivov's sudden death. Krivov, who was found with a head wound, was initially said to have fallen to his death before consular officials changed the story. Hey, he suffered a heart attack. Yeah, but his head caved in. He was a very bad heart attack. This is a heart that came up with a baseball bat, hit him on the head. Who knew? What are you going to believe, your eyes or me? In December, Petra Polishkov, a senior Russian diplomat who served as the chief advisor to the Latin American department at the ministry, who was found dead in his Moscow home with a bullet in the head.
Oh, oops. That was
that was a very bad heart attack.
Yeah. Somebody in Leningrad was cleaning their gun. It was a very,
very
long
bad heart attack.
Yeah.
And there's more here. No, I cut it off. There was a guy who was shot in his car. Literally, there have been too many.
They're not being very creative. I mean, they used to have like poison coming out of the end of umbrellas
or, and everything,
or radioactive sushi.
They used to have that.
What happened? They're just boring now. They're just boring old, you know, hits. They're just hits.
Well, I think so. So we're
but
kind
it's the
like, Democrat.
It's the Democrats. Blame it on the Democrats.
Yeah. I'll blame it on the Democrats. So another guy shot in his car. Another official shot dead. December 20th, shot dead at his Moscow home. You had a guy who was shot in his car recently. Let me tell you something. It's not a good day to check out your dental plan if you're working for the Russian government. Really, seriously. I've seen stories before. Somebody's cleaning up some loose ends.
Yeah.
Because if this leads back to Vladimir, that's an act of war. You know?
To kill your own people.
Yeah. Well, gee, I'd never... Would Vladimir Putin... No,
for goodness sake, Willie, look at Stalin. Stalin killed 10 or 30 million people. I mean,
yes,
Vladimir Putin is
it's a record Putin's shooting for. But let me tell you something about Vladimir. Vladimir is not as stupid as Stalin. Vladimir is a genius, man. This whole thing, if this is true, this guy is an espionage genius.
Yeah, but he was head of the
KGB.
That's
really the sick thing, is that he's the brains. If this is true, that he's been cultivating Trump since 2013, when he ran into his economic trouble, this is an ornate piece of masterful espionage beyond all espionage that has gone before it.
Well, it's a James Bond movie.
And I'm not saying I'm a fan of Putin, but I'm saying Trump's an idiot. The American people, 40% of them, really, seriously, need a roadmap to get to the fucking bathroom. They're so brainwashed by Fox News. Vladimir Putin is a dangerous, smart son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And I'm really, that a lot. There's so much smoke here. And so many people are just dropping off the face of the earth. And I'm offending each and every one of them.
Of course you are. Good luck, Bill. Stay tuned next week for the Randy Show.
Really good right now.
The Randy Show.
The Randy Show. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
Formerly known as the Bill Show.
Formerly known as the Bill Show. He had a heart attack. It's very sad.
A heart attack with a bullet.
Don't even joke about it, man. Really.
Oh, no, sorry.
This is one last story that I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Mem Fox. You know who she is?
Well, I do.
She's a
How many people have had children in this country, as you and I both have, of a certain age, who haven't read Possum Magic to them?
Absolutely.
A million times.
Here is a little bit of Mem Fox. Now, Mem Fox, celebrated children's author, Mem
70
Fox.
70 years old.
This is true. Tells how, on her 117th visit to the U.S., she was suddenly at the mercy of Donald Trump. This is what Mem Fox does. This is why she's such a threat. Listen to this. This is Mem Fox doing what she does every day. Here it is.
Hello, baby. Who are you? Are you a monkey with clever toes? Perhaps you're a porcupine, twitching its nose. Are you an eagle exploring the skies?
Yes, it's your drugged-up socialist grandma who only listens to PBS. And she's a lovely lady. She makes up children's books. Those are her children's
books. Bestsellers,
Bestsellers.
Internationally, yeah.
Yes, and she's a lovely lady. She's like 74 fucking years old.
Yeah.
This is what happened to her in LAX, and it was big here in Australia. I have to read this to you. This is insane. This is her. I was pulled out of line in the immigration queue at Los Angeles Airport as I came into the U.S., not because I was Mem Pop Fox the writer. Nobody knew that. I was just a normal person like anybody else. They thought I was working in the United States and that I had come in on the wrong visa. I was receiving an honorarium for delivering an opening keynote at a literacy conference, and because my expenses were being paid, they said, you need to answer further questions. So I was taken into the holding room with about 20 other people and kept there for an hour and 40 minutes, and for 15 minutes, I was interrogated. The room was like a waiting room in a hospital, but a bit more grim than that. There was a notice on the wall that was far too small, saying no cell phones allowed, and anybody who did use a cell phone had someone stand in front of them and yell, "Don't use that phone!" Everything was yelled, and everything was public. And this was the most awful thing. I heard things happening in that room, happening to other people, that made me ashamed to be human. There was an Iranian woman in a wheelchair. She was about 80, wearing a little mauve cardigan. And they were yelling at her, "Arabic! Arabic!" They screamed at her, "Arabic!" at the top of their voices. And finally, she intuited they wanted what they wanted, and I heard her say, "Farsi." And I thought, heaven help her, she's Iranian, what's going to happen now? There was a woman from Taiwan being yelled at about how she made her money. But she didn't understand the question. The officer was yelling at her, "Where does your money come from? Does it grow on trees? Does it fall out of the sky?" It was awful. There was no toilet, no water. There was this woman with a baby. If I had been holed up in that room with a pouch on my chest and a baby crying or needed to be fed, oh God, the agony I was surrounded by in that room was like a razor blade across my heart. When I was called to be interviewed, I was rereading a novel from 40 years ago. Thank God I had a novel. It was The Red and the Black by Stendhal. A 19th century novel keeps you quiet in long flights, and it's a great in a crisis, and I was buried in it and didn't hear my name called. And a woman in front of me said, "They are calling for Fox." I didn't know which booth to go into, and then suddenly there was a man in front of me, heaving his weaponry, standing with legs apart, yelling, "Not there! No! There!" I apologized politely and said I'd been buried in my book, and he said, "What do you expect me to do, stand here while you finish it?" Very loudly, with shocking insolence. The way I was interviewed was monstrous. If only they had been able to look into my suitcase and see my books. The irony, I had a copy of my new book. I'm Australian, too. It's about immigration, welcoming people to live in a happy country. I'm all about inclusivity, humanity, and the oneness of the humans of this earth. It's the theme of my life. I always had a copy of my book, 10 Little Fingers and 10 Little Toes. I told them I had these inclusive books of mine in my bag, and they yelled at me, "I can read!" He was less than half my age. I don't look 70, but I don't look 60 either. I'm an older woman. I was standing the whole time. The belligerence and violence of it was terrifying. I had to hold the heel of my right hand to my heart to stop it beating so hard. They were not apologetic at any point. When they discovered that one of the Australia's official gifts to Prince George was 10 little fingers and 10 little toes, he held out his hands and said, "It was a pleasure to meet you, Ms. Fox." I was close to collapse, very close to fainting, and nearly broke me. It was the creepiest thing of all. She's not going to America again.
That really sounded like one of her books. That's terrific.
I read this and I went, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Do you know that the tourism to America has dropped by 50%?
I'll tell you what's happening. And that's not everybody, because I've gone through immigration and I've met some very good people who work for the Immigration Service. And I have had nothing but good experience, but I'm a citizen. Okay? But I've seen other people who aren't citizens go through there at certain airports, and, you know, they have to do it, and they do it. But whoever did this, this, what Trump has done is let loose the id, you know?
Yeah.
Where do we get off yelling at a 74-year-old children's writer? Why do we treat people from other countries like shit? We are a melting pot of other countries.
They treat their own people like shit. These ICE people, the ICE
I know, it's
teams, you know, they just barge in on people. They even took a woman. She had just delivered her baby. Just delivered her baby.
Yeah.
And deported her.
Yeah. It's a very bad time, folks. And there's a lot of darkness.
Well, they deserve it. They deserve it if the if tourism has really fallen as far as they've said, the Trump effect, it's called.
No, but I mean, there are people who are being, you know, I mean, it's easy to say, you know, I mean, I love how Chris Wallace says earlier in the program, I had a tape, he says, well, now he's really president. People who have been, yeah, it was stupid, but it's also like, you know, who knows that he was president about a month ago? Every person coming into this country knows that, because, as I said to the liberals who didn't vote for Hillary, you're not the guy or girl or kid who's being torn out of his house in the middle of the night right now,
yeah,
by uniformed thugs. And I never thought I'd say that about American servicemen in uniform, but some of them are just acting like thugs.
Yep.
They're acting like thugs to people who are their friends. You know, and if you really want to antagonize the entire rest of the world, God, you're starting really well.
They really are. What
really bothers me is that it didn't take that much for the id to be released in America. It's very scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's as long as I'm going to go.
Hang on. I just wanted to say, you know, people in America, mostly commentators, cannot bring themselves still to call him President Trump. So it's not my president either. But I kept hearing all this talk about 45. And I thought, who the fuck is 45? And people have started referring to Donald Trump as 45. Because he's the 45th president.
He ain't no president, man.
No, I know, but they won't even say his name. They won't even say Trump. They just talk about 45. And it took me ages to work out what the hell they were talking about. Yeah,
hey, listen,
I mean, I'm not stupid,
His election to the presidency is the worst thing to befall this country next to the Civil War in history. And I'm including the Vietnam War, because this is the collapse of the Republic.
Yeah.
Now, people like Gore Vidal said that it was collapsed a long time ago. I prefer not to believe that. But what you're seeing right now is massive. This makes Watergate look like a kiddie scissors class. Anyway, well, listen, time to move on. We're going to be back with, we're going to have some comedy. We're going to have a little...
Oberman?
Keith Oberman. If you weren't just tired right now with people shouting at you...
I am Keith Olbermann, and you elected Donald Trump.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and you're not. So we'll be back, and then we got Randy's rant for show 170.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Say hi to John Batiste and stay human. Best man on television. Right there. Come on. You know, folks, we're ready right here? All right. You know, ladies and gentlemen, a little earlier in the show, standing over there, I was talking to you about Donald Trump's hostile relationship with the media. And it really hit a new low on Friday when, at an informal press briefing, Sean Spicer banned reporters from CNN, The New York Times, Politico, The Los Angeles Times, and BuzzFeed. Of course, BuzzFeed, I understand. No, it's upsetting, but you got to understand, BuzzFeed was excluded because Spicer didn't like the answer he got for, which Gilmore girl are you? Such a Lorelei. And this came only a few hours after Donald Trump said this.
I love the First Amendment. Nobody loves it better than me.
Yeah. It's like they say, if you love the First Amendment, set it free. If it comes back, don't let it in the press briefing. And the root of all this conflict is that Donald Trump calls any story he doesn't like fake news.
I mean, the whole thing is just, it just...
It's always great to see you, but I got
to... Nice to see you as well.
How did you get under my desk?
I have a tunnel.
A tunnel?
A tunnel that I've built straight from my farm. I did the tunnel right from the...
You came here straight from the farm?
Right from the farm.
You do your farming in makeup and a tie.
I like to look nice.
John?
Hmm?
You miss it, don't you?
Yes, I miss it! Stephen! Spend the whole day yelling about Trump to the animals. We have a barn spider.
Yes.
Don't know the name. Wolf, please get a job into a web. Into a web.
No, John, if you need to get away from the farm, you're always welcome here, obviously.
I mean, well, that's very kind.
We have,
thank you so
we have
much.
A chair right here for you. Why don't you?
All right. There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. It's like
a... Oh, this is hot. I like this.
So,
it's a little tight.
Yes,
little
it is.
Tight.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, so, John. John, what do you think about Trump banning the mainstream media from that briefing and him not going to the correspondence dinner?
I can't believe the guy's got the balls. Let me say this. I can't believe the guy's got the balls to get away with that. Trump lies more in one press conference than CNN does in a year. And this is coming from a guy who, as you know, hates CNN. Look at this clip. Look.
Got 306 Electoral College votes. I guess it was the biggest Electoral College win since Ronald Reagan.
You guessed wrong! Smaller than both of Barack Obama's wins and Bill Clinton's win at George H.W. It's the biggest win since Reagan, if you don't count everyone since Reagan. But... What about this?
The murder rate in our country is the highest it's been in 47 years, right? Did you know that? 47 years. I'd say that in a speech and everybody was surprised because the press doesn't tell it like it is.
No, they were surprised because it's not true. It's not the lowest it's been in 45 years. And then this one.
What?
This is my favorite. You got to see this one.
Bomb threats have been made against Jewish centers all across the country in the last couple of weeks. There are people who are committing anti-Semitic acts or threatening to.
You see, he said he was going to ask a very simple, easy question. And it's not. It's not. Not a simple question. Not a fair question. Okay, sit down. I understand the rest of your question. So here's the story, folks. Number one, I am the least anti-Semitic person that you've ever seen in your entire life.
I don't think that's true. You know, he's not even, he was not, watch that. He said that to a guy wearing a yarmulke. Donald, you're not even the least anti-Semitic person in the clip we showed.
Okay, John, obviously, okay, the president exaggerates. That's true. But you can't possibly know if he's lying on purpose.
You can, Stephen, you can. He's lying on purpose. You know how I would know how?
How?
Because he constantly says the phrase, believe me. Nobody says believe me unless they are lying. Oh, honey. I'll give you some examples.
John, hold on. John,
here's some examples.
Could you give me an example?
I will give you an example. Hey, honey, I was just helping Stacy test out her perfect sleep number. Believe me. What? No, it's just a giant wooden horse. Believe me. What? Democrats in disarray? No, they have a plan. Believe me.
Okay, well, come on. Done. Okay. He doesn't.
I did it in three.
It's really funny that way.
Yeah. Look, he doesn't say, believe me that often, John.
Really? He doesn't say, believe
me? He doesn't.
Roll 212.
Believe me.
Okay, believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me, folks.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Bubble.
So you agree with me that Trump banning any members of the press is un-American?
Oh, it's un-American not to like the press. Ooh. You know what I say? I say, stop your whining, press. I say, stop. Can I talk to the media for a moment?
Sure, go ahead.
Matt, which one of these cameras goes out to the media?
That one goes straight to the media.
Like that?
Yeah,
go
straight.
Hey, guys. Hey, media. So I heard Donald Trump broke up with you. Stings a little, doesn't it? Finally thought you'd met your match. A blabbermouth who's as thin-skinned and narcissistic as you are. Well, now it's over. Well, good riddance, I say. Kick him to the curb. Media. Thank you. It is time for you to get your groove back, media. Because let's face facts, you kind of let yourself go a little bit for these past few years. Put on a few pundits. Obsessing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week about this one guy. What's Donnie up to? Did he say anything about us? You think he's going to come on our show? Do you think he even likes us? He doesn't even have to come on. He can just call us. Oh, Donnie, please just let us know you're okay. And the whole time you're chasing after Donnie, the rest of us are thinking, can't you see he's an ass? No. You try to defend him. No. That's just primaries, Donald. That's just election, Donald. You'll see. We can change him. He'll get presidential. Yeah, how'd that work out? It didn't. And do you know why? Because 70-year-old men don't get less cranky or racist as time goes by. Unless...
There was one instance.
There's one? Really? Unless...
If I remember once correctly, unless they are visited at night by three spirits. But I know that doesn't. Look, media, I'm not saying the breakup is going to be easy. You're going to see your ex swiping far right with every Tom Drudge and Breitbart. And from what I heard, they do anal.
John, you are aware we are on CBS right now, yes?
In my defense... They do anal.
All right.
Did I get us canceled?
Us?
Here's my point, media. Here's my point. This breakup with Donald Trump has given you, the media, an amazing opportunity for self-reflection and improvement. Instead of worrying about whether Trump is un-American or if he thinks you're the enemy or if he's being mean to you or if he's going to let you go back into the briefings, do something for yourself. Self-improvement. Take up a hobby. I recommend journalism. You know, I think this breakup is going to be the best thing that ever happened to you.
So you really think the media is going to take this opportunity for self-reflection and get better at their jobs?
I really do. Believe me.
John Stewart, everybody. We're right back with Tommy Britton. Back in the hole. No, back.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. The suicide of a presidency occurred on Friday, February 17th, 2017, at 4:32 p.m. Eastern Time. The fake news media, failing New York Times, CNN, NBC News, and many more, is not my enemy. It is the enemy of the American people. Sick. Donald Trump struck a fatal blow against his own presidency at that moment with the use of those terms never heard before from an American president, not even from Richard Nixon, not ever. The presidency, of course, did not end with those words, but the inevitability that it will end later or sooner, the truth that his position as president is no longer tenable, became fixed the moment he pressed send and promulgated those evil words. And then he deleted them. But he deleted them not because they were the spasmodic outburst of a man with no self-control suddenly understanding that he had just finally thrown everything he had achieved out the window and he was seeking to destroy the record as Nixon destroyed his tapes. No, he deleted them because he had left out some of the specific targets he wanted to smear with words that even the evil founder of the Soviet state, Vladimir Lenin, waited until he was a month in power before using. 16 minutes later, the fake news media failing New York Times, NBC News, ABC, CBS, CNN is not my enemy. It is the enemy of the American people. There is no walking those words back. And as seen in the White House daily press briefing Tuesday afternoon, Trump isn't even going to try to do that because he's a fool. A man holding the office of the President of the United States using the language of the totalitarian Soviet states, the language used to mark groups of people for removal and death. A man holding the office of the President of the United States specifically attacking a group specifically protected by the Bill of Rights, the first amendments ever passed to the Constitution to which he swore allegiance, apparently falsely swore allegiance, but a month earlier. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Freedom of the press, sandwiched in among the freedom from a state religion, or against government abridgment of free speech, or of the right of assembly, or of petition against grievances. An attack on freedom of the press is an attack on all those other freedoms and all those Americans who exercise all those other freedoms. It is an attack on the Constitution itself. And that may not mean much to Trump or his wilder supporters, nor even to some of the men and women on the fringes of Congress to whom democracy has always been nothing more than a brand name. But the most tepid of Democrats must realize, or be made to realize, that everybody else in the president's party now has to decide how to answer these new questions. Speaker Ryan, do you agree? Are the New York Times, NBC News, ABC, CBS, CNN, and many more the enemy of the American people? Vice President Pence, a decade ago, you co-sponsored a bill to let reporters protect confidential sources. Do you agree with the president, or do you believe in freedom of the press? Majority Leader McConnell, can you defend the President of the United States calling Americans, holding American jobs in American-owned businesses, the enemies of the American people? Senator McCain, do you believe the President should be calling any American citizens a phrase made infamous by the communist Lenin? Secretary of Defense Mattis, when people say that freedom of speech and freedom of the press exist because of the United States military and that the military fights for free speech and for freedom of the press, what exactly does that mean? Judge Neil Gorsuch, do you believe in the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States? Republican candidate for the Senate, for the House, for the state legislature, for village mayor, for the school board. Not condemning Donald Trump means not condemning his belief that the news media is the enemy of the American people. Do you support Donald Trump, or do you think the news media is the enemy of the American people? These questions, and similarly blunt follow-ups, again and again and again. This is a door Trump has closed behind himself forever. He cannot reopen it and go back through, even if he were smart enough to try to do so. It is the suicide of a presidency, because whether all of those Republicans answer those questions now or next fall, they will answer them, and they will not be able to nuance their answers. And if the country still believes in democracy and not fascism, it will punish any politician who does not repudiate Trump's authoritarian madness. This does not mean his presidency ends today or tomorrow. Richard Nixon committed the suicide of a presidency in the late morning of Friday, June 23, 1972, when he ordered the FBI to discontinue its investigation of the Watergate break-in of just 6 days earlier. But the tape recording of his order did not become public until August 5, 1974. Nixon's presidency died of its two-year-old self-inflicted wounds at noon on August 9, 1974, just as Trump's presidency will die of the wound he inflicted on it, and for exactly the same reason. Not because it was a crime against the United States of America and our Constitution, but because Republicans were going to have to answer questions about it in the midterm elections. As the Republicans of 1974 would have had no choice but to run against Richard Nixon, the Republicans of our day will have no choice but to run against Donald Trump. We've always been very celestial about our motives in this country, the Constitution, the flag, American exceptionalism. But ultimately, most of our internal decisions have come down to far less lofty issues. Often they've come right down into the gutters and the sewers of who is going to be reelected and who is not. And on Twitter, on February 17th, Donald Trump guaranteed that Republicans would have to try to get themselves reelected as Republicans while a Republican president insisted the free press was an enemy of the American people. Those Republicans can't do that. So they will not try that. So Trump will have to go. And so his presidency is right now dying by his own hand. The only question is, how fast will it die?
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Let's all gather round.
And it's
let's all gather round. And I'm shaking my tassels, and I've actually got my shirt off because it's 28 degrees centigrade.
You know,
and it's 9:30 at night.
We've lost 90% of our female audience just now. Just that visual image. Go to thebillshow.net to see a photo
Bill.
Of us. Trust me, we got faces for radio. We're on a low.
Well, actually, we've got tinfoil hats on in those photos.
Yeah, we do.
I think I still have a beard.
Yeah,
We should stop. We should update our photos. I think.
I don't know. I kind of like those. Two old guys are reading
because
too much
news. Yeah, two older mensch.
Older mensches on a bench. Hey, it's undermensch.
Yeah, it's rant Randy's
time.
Rant.
What do you got for us, man?
Oh, this sounds like Spider-Man time.
Yeah.
Spidey time.
I actually have a fan here. I got to turn this on. This is professional podcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
You're turning off a fan.
Don't try this at home, even though I did.
I don't get it.
What do you got for us, man?
Okay. I'm going to talk today about the fact that Donald Trump,
yes,
as you heard our friend Keith Olbermann say,
mm-hmm.
We did hear Keith Olbermann say that he's committing suicide by saying that the press is the enemy of the American people.
Yeah, keep it up, man. Really, seriously.
Which he said.
Yep.
No president has ever said that, not even Richard Nixon. And
I
the
wanted
press,
to, goddammit, but I didn't.
Yeah, so I'm down doing Hitler's laundry now.
Goddamn.
I steal from the best.
Usually Mao Zedong does it, but it's too much of a cliche.
Yeah, Chinese laundry. But the thing is Olbermann's right. Mm. Even when he had the two guys from the Washington Post, Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman, which weren't their real names,
yep.
And Hal Holbrook.
Well, what the name of this episode is? I just figured it out before I came on with you. It's called, this episode is called Follow the Money. It is, man. Just follow the money. The money.
And,
it's all there, man.
Yeah,
it's just there.
So anyway, he's come out and he's committing what Olbermann says is political suicide by saying that fake news, the press is the enemy of the people.
Mm-hmm.
The American people are their enemy is the media.
Well, the last Pew Research poll showed that the people trust Donald Trump more than the press by 1 percentage point.
Yeah, but that's if they were Trump supporters. Now, if you look at probably... Oh, jeez.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
All right. Now, what happened is, a couple of weeks, about a week ago, they were going to have what's called a press conference with your friend, Sean, what's his name?
Sean Hannity.
And
No. The press conference guy. What's his name?
Spicy.
Spicy man was they were going to have what's called a press conference. He says, there's going to be a gaggle. Let me have all your names and I'll put you on the list. So they put all the names on the list and they all lined up to go into the press
room. Did Spicer do meth again before the press conference?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they got to, you're not on the list. Oh, you're not on the list.
Ah.
Oh, you're not on the list. Yeah. And it's that old trick. I mean, I've had it happen even to me.
No.
When they start stacking the audience by having people that disagree with the people on the board not being allowed in.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and who are these people?
Yeah.
The New York Times.
Washington Post.
CNN.
Yeah.
Washington Post.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden,
these
outlets are not allowed into this. Now, they're saying, well, Obama used to do it when he wanted to have a selective thing. He only let in people that agreed with him. But they're making this a general thing.
Yeah.
Because he stands there and says, oh, I don't want to hear from you. You're fake news to CNN, cable news network. Yeah. You know, that's just really, really, really bad. Now, I have a couple of clips here from CNN, Jake Tapper from CNN, talking about this. So I thought I'd put it in their own words. They're the people that are indignant about this whole episode.
Mm.
I can only get angry because I know that the people I used to listen to, not faux news, Fox News, I don't listen to them. Even though my mother's a rusted on listener, I called her the other day. It was on in the background. I could tell.
She was being programmed.
Yeah. She got angry with me once because I changed the channel once, and you should have heard her spew.
They get very upset when they're deprogrammed. Yeah. There's
I said, Mom, I wanted to watch some real news.
Yeah, no, it's anyway. The body
snatchers,
man.
Okay, CNN and other news networks are blocked from the off-camera White House press conference.
Oh, yeah, it looks like Donald doesn't want to date you anymore, as Jon Stewart once so delightfully said. Here it is, CNN.
One of our White House correspondents, and so Sarah Murray, why aren't we there?
That is a great question, Brooke. We lined up. We were told there was a list ahead of time, which is sort of abnormal, but we put our name on the list. And then when we went to enter, I was blocked by a White House staffer who said we were not on the list for this gaggle today. Now, normally, if you were going to do something like this, an extended gaggle off camera, you would have one person from each news outlet. As you know, we have multiple people from CNN here every day. So if you're going to do something beyond a pool, which is sort of the smallest group of reporters that then disseminates the information, you would have one person from every news outlet. That is not what the White House was doing today. What the White House was doing was handpicking the outlets they wanted in for this briefing. So Breitbart, The Washington Times, One America News Network, news outlets that maybe the White House feels are more favorable were all allowed in, whereas I was blocked from entering, Politico was blocked from entering, The New York Times, The LA Times, all of these news outlets were blocked from going to a gaggle. And Brooke, as you pointed out, on a normal day-to-day basis, this would be an on-camera, on-the-record briefing in the White House briefing room where anyone at any of these news outlets would have a chance to be called on and to answer a question. It's pretty clear that that is not what the White House wanted to do today, and they wanted to just select maybe news outlets that would be more favorable, which I do have to say I think is kind of unfortunate, Brooke, because when you think about the list of priorities that the president was ticking through earlier today, he was talking about serious immigration matters at CPAC. He was talking about serious tax reform, serious health care matters, things that our viewers really care about. And when we go into those briefings, that's an opportunity to ask questions about any number of news stories of the day. And today it's clear they did not want CNN to be involved in that.
Let's not make any mistake about what's happening here. A White House that has had some difficulty telling the truth and that has seemed to have trouble getting up to speed on the basic competent functioning of government, and a president who seems particularly averse to any criticism and has called the press the enemies of the American people, they are taking the next step in attempting to avoid checks and balances and accountability. It's not acceptable. In fact, it's petulant and indicative of a lack of basic understanding of how an adult White House functions. In fact, Sean Spicer in December seemed to completely understand this. He said the White House would not ban any media organization as the Trump campaign had. He said, quote, "We have a respect for the press when it comes to the government. That is something you can't ban an entity from, conservative, liberal, or otherwise. I think that's what makes a democracy versus a dictatorship." The Trump White House now, led by Sean Spicer's White House operation in the communication division, is now targeting multiple media organizations, and it seems to think it can punish reporters for sharing with you facts that they don't like. They offer rhetoric designed to mislead and confuse you about this issue, such as this from the president today.
We are fighting the fake news. It's fake, phony, fake. A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people. Because they have no sources, they just make them up when there are none.
It's just simply not true. So don't misunderstand what's going on with that rhetoric and with today's action banning various media outlets, including CNN and the New York Times. This White House does not seem to respect the idea of accountability. This White House does not seem to value an independent press. There is a word for that line of thinking. The word is un-American.
So that's Jake Tapper from CNN.
Yeah, you know the basic thing that he's done. I mean, he assumes these people don't have any power, and they do. They have a lot of power. These people,
a lot of power,
and that's why, you know, I'll tell you something. You know, I think that if Putin's behind this entire thing, I'm not saying I have proof that he is, but there's a lot of smoke. I think he's cutting all threads to this because he feels if he doesn't feel logically that this guy is incapable of holding this together, if it is a con, he's done everything he can. I mean, he just nominated the guy who partially owns the bank that Vladimir Putin
puts his money into.
You know, if you wanted to dissuade people that you were in league with Putin, that's not really a good way to do it. You don't do that by, you know, making Rex Tillerson, the guy who has the Medal of Friendship pinned on him by Vladimir Putin in the middle of a multi-billion-dollar deal, to Secretary of State, unless you really like Putin. So he has done everything he can right now to point to the fact that he's dirty. So,
yeah.
You know, and then he antagonizes the press, who now... believe it or not, are going to use their considerable resources not to love him, but to hate him.
But this is another page out of Hitler's songbook.
Yeah.
Make the press out to have no authority. They're fake. These are all the things that he did in the 30s.
The one thing that Trump needs for this to work, for him to take power, is a disaster. Something big.
Oh, yeah. A war.
We talked about it before. Wag the dog.
Wag the dog. Another. George W. Bush is only 8 months in. Wasn't he eight or nine months?
I'm just saying that. Look,
9/11 was 9 months into George W. Bush's presidency.
Hitler did not get total power in Germany until the Reichstag fire. You know?
Yeah, and then the result of the Reichstag fire was Kristallnacht, where they destroyed the Jewish people. Well, the people he got the German people to rise up, and the brown shirts destroyed. It was called Kristallnacht because of all the broken glass, and they started burning books.
I know what,
and all that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what's going to be the result of his disaster.
Well, no, I think that he's... I don't think he actually knows what he's doing. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think that there was... This is how I feel it was. I feel that they curried favor with Trump. They had no idea that he was going to win. No idea in the world. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you look at the... remember that time when he was caught on tape during the campaign, pussy-grabbing?
Yeah.
There was constant emails being released.
It was actually a few years ago, but yes, the tape was released.
It was released, right? It was about 3 weeks before the election. And during that time, you had a constant flow of emails coming through WikiLeaks. You know when it stopped? It stopped when that happened.
Yeah.
And I think it stopped when that happened because the Russians turned off the spigot because they were sure that he was dead. And then... And then we had the Comey revelations, and then we had this, and then we had that. I mean, I don't think that the people who put in force this, if this is a conspiracy, and I'm not a conspiracy nut. There's stuff here, right? And we need an investigation, at least. But if this is a conspiracy, they were they are now the victim of their own success, because Trump is an incompetent. The people around him don't know what the fuck they're doing. And the only people that can really save us congressionally or constitutionally is the other Republicans. And I never stopped throwing up when I saw those people standing and applauding this nincompoop.
Or the Supreme Court.
Or the Supreme Court.
The same way Scalia put George Bush into the presidency.
Yep.
So what was it, Scalia 9 weeks
not
after
George
the...
George Bush into the presidency, was Gerald Ford. Oh, you're talking about... I thought you were referring to Watergate. It wasn't Scalia.
No. I'm talking about, when there was no definitive thing, the hanging chads.
Yeah,
about Florida.
That's right.
And Scalia had the deciding vote for the Supreme Court to put George W. Bush on the throne.
Yeah.
Well, there's been talk that they can actually declare the election void because it was interfered with. Mm-hmm. If in fact there were millions,
well, you'll
of
never have
fake
that as long
votes.
As it's a tied Supreme Court. You'd never have it. The Republicans were voting.
Well, the point
is,
unless
you can get something on these guys, and I think there's stuff out there. I think that the something.
Yeah,
the
but that's it. When it comes in,
it's going to be big, and we're not that far from it. Okay.
And they
and
could.
Then
they
the,
could
the
conceivably
part is
declare
that you're dealing with getting a guy out of the office.
Well, that's the reason that that wonderful old grandma of the Supreme Court said, I'm reluctant to go this route because of the intercene war it will create, which means war between the two, like a new civil war, if they tried to do that. So
it'll get ugly. Anyway,
it'll get
damned
ugly.
We're not sure, but I'll tell you, man.
Yeah.
It certainly looks pretty crazy. Now, I understand you have a religious night bag of the week.
I always.
You do, and
don't
I can always
I
depend
always.
On you.
You'll love this guy. You will love this guy.
Will I really?
Yeah, I think you will, because he comes out of, it's actually the result of one of those things where people start donating money in his name, but it's in something that he absolutely hates.
Okay. This is Randy's religious nut job of the week, right here on show 170. Here it is.
Hey guys, Pastor Greg Locke here. So today in the mail, I got a very shocking and a very interesting card. It came from Planned Parenthood, which is a very strange organization to be sending me anything at all, because everyone knows my very bold and biblical stand against them. But here's what's interesting. Here's what the card said. Dear Greg Locke, Planned Parenthood Federation of America is pleased to let you know that a generous and thoughtful donation has been made in your honor by, and then apparently the hater's name was Krista Ginsburg in Houston, Texas, and it doesn't say how much it was, and then sincerely, the Richards lady that runs Planned Parenthood. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how big or how small it was an absolute waste of your money, and the stamp was an absolute waste of your money as well. Don't ever send me any more nonsense from Planned Parenthood. There has never been an organization in the world that has killed more innocent people other than radical Islam than that of Planned Parenthood. Look, I'm just going to say it boldly whether you like it or not. Planned Parenthood does not give the flip of a wooden nickel about women's health care. It's a bunch of deceptive individuals that are in it for the money, that have been known to sell baby parts on the black market, and they have done nothing but butcher innocent lives for years. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if I ever get another piece of literature from you guys again, because you're just wasting your money to send me this nonsense. So if nothing else becomes of this video, I at least want everyone to know that Pastor Greg Locke has absolutely, positively, teetotally nothing to do with Planned Parenthood, and I don't want my name associated with this wicked mess. Just save your stamps, Planned Parenthood, because every time you send me a thank you letter, it's going right in the garbage where it belongs. Y'all can keep butchering babies. I'm going to keep speaking the truth.
So the person you're supposed to buy a membership for is Greg Locke.
Reverend Greg Locke.
Greg Locke.
But you know they did that to Mike Pence.
Good.
People contributed millions to Planned Parenthood.
There's a man
in
who
the name of Mike Pence.
There's a man who understands sexual reproduction, Greg Pence.
Well, because of the thing where he made every fetus has to have a funeral.
Yeah. What was my favorite triumph moment? Is said, what do you think of Pence, man? He's a lovely man. Are you kidding, man? He's so uptight, he needs a roofie to masturbate. Yeah. Okay, Greg Locke. Ladies and gentlemen.
Greg Locke, ladies and gentlemen.
Greg Locke, I want you to address all of your donations in the name of Greg Locke. Because
I don't give a teetotal.
I don't give a
nickel.
I'm so mad. I saw that stuff on Fox News about them guy selling body parts, and even though it was proved that was just horseshit, I still believe it.
Yeah. Well, Planned Parenthood is coming up on its centenary.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
And it was actually brought in before women were given the vote in 1922. And it's an amazing organization.
It is an amazing organization.
Their whole thing is about selling body parts.
You know
is
what?
So wrong.
You know what types of people used to subscribe to Planned Parenthood or still do? I believe the senior George Bush Sr. is a donator to Planned Parenthood. So
yeah, well, his father was one of the original board members.
There you go. So
George H.W. Bush's father,
yeah,
is one of the founders of Planned
Folks,
Parenthood.
That's how far to crazy town we've managed to go. that's how far to crazy town.
Oh, doesn't George W. Bush sound middle of the road now?
Oh, George
so
is
sensible.
Having a great time. I tell you right now, I guess I'm not going to be the worst anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? He was looking at the you know, like all the History Channel documentaries for the next 100 years are going to be, boy, did George Bush suck. And now he's free, man.
I love all the memes of Kim Jong-un saying, hey, I'm not the fucking crazy one now.
Yeah, that's right. Who's the crazy one now, motherfucker? You know, I mean, it takes talent to come up with a president worse than George W. Bush. But America,
or worse than Kim, or worse than Kim Jong-un. Worse than Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, Jim,
you know?
Pugsley. Pugsley's sitting there going, yeah. I'm not the worst bastard anymore.
Yeah.
Where's my flamethrower?
I'm so ronery.
Where's my flamethrower? I have to execute my cousin.
Or with a bazooka.
With a bazooka. Really?
Yeah.
Serious. Say hello to my little friend.
or his stepbrother in the KL airport last week. Yeah.
Well, listen, is that all you got for us today?
That's my nut job.
Fantastic.
Let's have a bit of a laugh, and we'll
have
our tinfoil hats.
We're gonna come back with our Randy's tinfoil hat and my tinfoil hat for show 170. Kids, we'll be back in one moment.
170. I love it. Yeah. I'm going to go to the next one.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight.
Thank you, Randy. That was the great George Carlin.
I thought I'd mention to our listeners at home and abroad that was recorded when George W. Bush was president.
Yeah.
So that was, 10 years ago, 2007, 2008.
And guess
so,
what?
And it is so applicable today.
And guess what, Randy? They're coming after your Social Security.
Yes, and
there are bills in Congress right now that are doing exactly what George told you they were going to do.
Yep.
I disagree with George on one thing. It does make a difference who you vote for. It does make a difference.
It always does.
He sits there.
But he's talking about
he says one thing. Is that it doesn't make any difference. Yeah, it does, George. There's a big difference between what's going to happen to this country under somebody like Trump than what would have happened under this country under somebody like Hillary Clinton. And
the thing is, the ocean will have a difference.
The trouble is,
but he's talking about the apathetic voter, the one who doesn't vote and then complains.
Yeah, but there's the trouble that Carlin, it's such a hopeless kind of riff that's what they bank on. They bank on the fact that it can't get any better. And we know it can't.
My vote won't do any good, so I'm not going to bother.
That's right. Half the people in America who agreed with us, agreed with Democrats, the poor people and people of color, got up all at once and voted, these guys would be out of power. And now the system is so rigged that it's very, very difficult for that to happen. But right now, what you're seeing is even worse than that. What you're seeing right now is a coup of the United States government. And
absolutely.
And that cannot stand. Because if we allow it to stand, we as a country and we as a world might be doomed. Because Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to the United States of America and the world, folks.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is nuts. I have said it.
Yeah.
I say it again. He's nuts.
We're going to be like the Germans and everybody... the Americans in 1945 when the dust was settling and they said, how could we have let this happen?
Well, no, I think it's, I'm feeling very hopeful right now, and I didn't do my good news thing, which I usually do, but I'm feeling very hopeful right now because people have, from day one, people have come out of this has woken up the American people. And I'm telling you, if you look at the popularity of Trump is at the lowest ebb of any president at this particular time in history, Randy, in history. We can do this. We can make a difference. So don't not make a difference. I just hope we don't have to wait until make a difference.
I hope we don't have to wait until 2020 to make a difference. I hope we can make
a difference soon.
Yeah.
But meanwhile,
Meanwhile, down at the ranch,
We have a couple of tinfoil hats that we're going to share with our friends.
We are too.
Yes. Yes.
Am I first?
Yeah, you're
I'm always first.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, my tinfoil hat this week was actually a religious nut job that I couldn't use. But I wanted to, but it's just so bizarre. Young Val from Glen Falls, New York, actually gave me this one.
Ooh, we love Val. How you going, Val?
Yeah, we love young Val.
Oh, by the way, can I send out a call out to, just while we're sending a call out to Val, Dave Stanley, my childhood friend in Boston, just went into the hospital recently, and he is one of the nicest, most decent guys I've ever known. He is he is salt of the earth. He's one of the our great fans out there. And David, I love you, and I hope things are going well, and hope the family is well, and keep in touch, my friend.
Don't laugh because you don't want to bust a stitch.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to buzz a stitch. Well, true. Not that funny. It's kind
of
depressing. So,
you got to laugh. Yeah,
yeah, you got to laugh, for God's sake.
Okay, here's my tinfoil hat. It's young Uncle Pat.
Yes.
Val gave me this one because all the witches in America last week, because it was some sort of convergence of the Stonehenges or ley lines or whatever, were going to lay a curse on Donald Trump. And I don't know if it happened or not, if Val got on her pointy black hat and went out in the snow, because I think it's still snowing up in that part of America, and drew a pentagram or whatever. Her husband's name is Randy as well. But anyway, she gave me this idea. I went out and hunted down the track. And here's Uncle Pat telling them to get thee out, Satan. You're not going to put a curse on me.
Okay. It's an all Uncle Pat, because I got one too. It's an all Uncle Pat tinfoil hat. So here's Pat Robertson for just a spoonful of crazy to help the medicine go down. Here he is.
All right, this viewer says, my father is in a satanic cult. My son and I recently became Christians after seeing the power that this cult had. The cult has put curses on my son, and I and the spirits have attempted to attack us. Can the spirits hurt us if we are both Christians?
The Bible says a curse causeless cannot lie. And some, that may can't rest on you, some demon power, they try to curse you, but in the name of Jesus, you take it back. And I might add, I read that a bunch of witches has got together to put a curse on Trump, and I think the Christians need to be praying for him to defend him, but at the same time, send those curses back where they came from. So you just resist it in the name of Jesus. I will not receive it. I will not receive it, and I command you, Satan, loose me. And here's what you say. Use these words. I bind you, Satan, and the forces of evil. I bind you and the forces of evil. And watch what happens. In Jesus' name, I made it. Okay.
That thing with the witches was Friday night at midnight. And I know that all the believers that were on Facebook were canceling out those, curses from the witches and just pleading the blood of Jesus. And there were probably millions of Christians praying for him.
Send them back where they came from. Send the curse back.
Send it back.
To those witches.
Amen.
All right.
Sending those curses back. You know, I love Pat Robertson's view of Christianity. It's like they're all Marvel superheroes. And they're turning away the bad and things like that. And not only that, the fact that you have, this says everything that you ever needed to know about Pat Robertson. Everything you needed to know. He's turning bad wishes against God's own, God's Savior, the person Christ would hang around with if he was here.
No, Christ would not be allowed
Donald
in America.
Trump.
He doesn't speak English.
Christ
he's from the Middle East.
America, that's true.
He's
but what I'm
a man of
is,
color. He was a radical. Yeah.
Yeah, I get your point, Randall. But the thing I'm trying to say is, do you really think the anointed one of God, the Prince of Peace, The Prince of Forgiveness. The man who said, that which you do to the least of me, you do to myself. The man who said it. The man who said it is easier for a camel to go through the head of a pin than a rich man to go to heaven. A man who threw the money changers out of the fucking temple.
And
yes, Christ did hang around with hookers. There, okay. There's one thing that you guys have in common. But I do not.
He wasn't into water sports, though.
Sorry, yeah. I don't think. Yeah, I don't think he'd be hanging around with you. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, you actually hit the nail on the head with me, because, as you know, I know people like my friend David, who is battling, a cancer. And I know friends of mine who are currently battling cancers. And, my wife is battling cancer. This is something that's really close to me right now. And I listened to Pat Robertson say this. This is what Pat Robertson said on his show just recently.
This is a viewer who says, I've been praying for a friend's wife that had cancer. She passed away. Why are my prayers not being heard? Am I not worthy? Am I doing something wrong? Should I keep praying if I'm not being heard?
Well, you don't know you weren't heard. God hears everybody's prayers. The question is, in some cases, he says no. No. And you don't know what went on with that wife. You don't know what was in her heart. You don't know what sin she'd committed. You don't know how much unbelief was there. You don't know whether she hated her husband. You don't know any of those things. But you've been praying, and God says, okay, I'm sorry, but the answer is no. God heard your prayer, okay?
Yeah, God heard your prayer, but fuck off.
Yeah,
that's what God
what
said.
Pat.
Let me say this to Pat, okay? You diseased old fuck. If there was any evidence in the world that good people die from cancer and certain people who are vile pieces of shit live to ripe old ages and are cancer-free, you are a living, walking, talking example of that. Because you have been making your money off the most vulnerable people in this country for years. You once had an empire that allowed you to run for president, for fuck's sake. And you've been dripping this absolutely vile, evil shit into people's heads for decades. Only to enshrine yourself. You are a sick, twisted fuck. Really, who says that? Who says that? Who impugns that the person who died, that it's her friend, isn't holy enough to be saved by God?
God heard your prayers.
Pat Robertson says, fuck, I really cannot believe how totally evil that concept is. And the way he shifts that conversation to say that maybe it was the cancer victim's fault.
God heard your prayers. He just said no.
He has been around for as long as we've been looking at politics. He's been around for years. He is a crazy, evil, venal son of a bitch who has been making his money off the roofs.
Do you remember the first time we played him? He was telling a woman how to sell, mortgage her house and send her money to. Oh God!
Send the money.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. This guy. These people bother me, I think, more because I was raised Christian and I know good Christians. I still keep in touch with people who still go to church every week, who are great people, who are Christians,
but who
really are
it.
Christians.
Don't pay lip service. They're not just Sunday Christians.
They don't. They're the ones that if you go by their like the Anglican church up here that has a poster that says we allow refugees. They're the ones that go and visit these refugees. They're the ones who actually care about the way people are. They're the ones who are not vindictive and look at other people as less than they are simply because they belong to a certain sect of Christianity. They are people who, there's an old thing that I went to Christian summer camp. They will know that we are Christians by our love. It was one of those great little songs we sung in Christian summer camp. Okay? What a great message. A message that evidently Pat missed the meeting.
Yeah. He didn't get the meme.
And I can't tell you, I listened to, I talked to the people I went to church with, And they can't stand this guy. Because what the God that he represents is not a God that I want to believe.
Oh, and the Jesus is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed man from the cover of a magazine.
See, if you want to get deep for a minute, I totally believe in God. Totally. I think that not to believe in God is rude. I think if you look up at the heavens on a starry night, that's your miracle.
Yeah, it's something's holding miracle. It together.
But do I believe that there's a bearded guy up there going, hey, gee, I hope the Packers win. No!
Or the Patriots, no. Yeah.
I think that life is a crapshoot. I think that what is God or that thing that we call God is so massive and so incredible and so magnificently huge that we cannot even perceive it. It is beyond our perception what God is. But I know it's out there. I know there are things, heaven and earth, you know, that is not dreamt of in my philosophy. I am humble enough to believe that I don't know it all. And if anybody tells you in this earth that they know it all, they're lying, because they don't. Sorry, they just don't. I hope there's a God, and I look up in the sky, and I see balance, and I see beauty. I look at a sunset, and I know I'm getting wishy-washy, and
something's
but
holding
I know
you
there's
together.
A God. But that's my but that's my choice. It's my personal choice.
And it's your personal interpretation. And that's the point. Everybody says, you have a freedom of religion as long as it's mine. You know, it's my interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely. And
like Betsy DeVos.
And
you
by
know,
the way, what these guys who drape themselves in the American flag don't understand is that our founding fathers, we're talking about John Adams, we're talking about Thomas Jefferson, we're talking about Benjamin Franklin. You read what they said. They brought forth a country that did not have an official religion. Why? Because they came from England, a lot of these people, which did have an official religion.
And had an incredible civil war when the two official religions fought each other.
And then fought each other. And they wanted to make a country in which there was no official religion. In God We Trust, man, that's a recent thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. And the brilliance of that enlightenment of a group of people getting together saying, we're going to have a country where people can worship the way they wish. Or not worship. That is your choice. That's part of the greatness of our country. And people like Pat Robertson, people like Donald Trump, and these people that are in power now are so divorced from the original concept of America that
and the original concept of Christianity.
Yet they claim it
as a belief
Jesus
system.
Jesus would never stop throwing up. Trust me. I mean,
if Jesus was alive,
and he was at a cocktail
they'd
party
crucify
with Donald
him
Trump.
At LAX.
If Jesus got along with Donald Trump, I wouldn't want to know him. All right, I'm sorry, but I don't believe that. I believe the guy that's described in the New Testament wouldn't be seen a year from Donald Trump. Read the book. Trust me.
Yeah, there's a copy in every hotel room. Go get it.
That's right. So that's 170, folks. An hour 43. Considerably less than last time.
Are we about to say goodbye?
Can I just bring up one more thing?
Sure. Something that happened yesterday morning. Even though we're 150 kilometers apart, we tend to listen to the same radio station. Now, they were having a discussion about podcasting. Me being a wordsmith, I sent a text. You being a mouth, you were on hold waiting to talk to the guy. They read John Fain is his name, lovely Jewish bloke, and he reads my text almost as soon as I press send, and lo and behold, you're already on hold, and you heard him read my text, and then he comes and talks to you.
And then
Helen says, quick, come here. Bill's on the radio. And so here we are, miles, 100 miles apart.
And we're still thinking the same thing. How can we promote
and
this
it was
show?
Great. Well, our we've had a lot of people listening, and they've got a Facebook page. I just thought that's funny. Next week,
I've
downloaded the podcast. Next week, I'm going to put your radio blurb on
our next show.
Oh my
why
God.
Not?
All right.
And reading my
fine.
Text.
I love listening to myself. Obviously.
Well, we're nothing if not self-promoters.
We're nothing if not self-promoting, and we're nothing if not persistent because it's 170. Okay, guys, listen, you want to sponsor us, please go to expatprogressive.podbean.com at Podbean. You can sponsor us there, or you can go to thebillshow.net, everything Bill Show in one place, and there is a sponsor button there. We need help, as we say, just to put some money
got,
in the can.
We've got our,
we've got our
renewal coming up soon for the website.
Yeah, for the website, and I would rather be this cost neutral. So if you've enjoyed the show and if you've liked the show, please consider just giving maybe $5 or $10 if you can, because as I said, we're going through a more constrained financial circumstances.
Yeah, we've got to take care of our poor babies.
I'm whimpering like a baby. Yeah, there's a baby out back. She's starving. Yeah. Aren't you going to help? Okay. Taking us out tonight again for our the second time will be Johnny Farnham. You're the voice,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to this song. Listen to the words, people.
Listen to the words. And by the way, get in touch with Rachel Maddow. That entire thing on the Commerce Secretary is available online. Watch it. It'll blow your mind. Here he is, Johnny Farnham.
Bye.
So long, kids. Bye-bye. Bye.